Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 329 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and we're continuing on with our Humana coverage, this time with the Apprentice Company's production of Sleep Rock Thy Brain, written by Renee Groff, Lucas Naff, and Anne Washburn, and I get a chance to talk to Lucas and Anne about this whole process and about flying. So we'll get into that conversation just after these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
All right, so I'm joined with two-thirds of the writer for Sleep Rock Thy Brain. We have Lucas Naff. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Awesome. And Anne Washburn. Yeah. All right, cool. So how are you guys doing? How's the festival been going? And I guess the first chicken or egg question, which came first, the story or the flying?
Flying came first. Stories came from that.
Yeah, the commission asked us to write plays that were about the science of sleep, mm-hmm. and they needed to in some way involve flying effects. So we could do whatever we wanted as long as we met those two conditions.
So have you written with flying in mind before? I mean, what was that to be given that sort of, oh yeah, you can do this? I mean, was it sort of was it harrowing or was it like liberating or?
It was actually more liberating to get to write for 20 people.
Yeah.
Which you never get to do. And then the flying was, of course, very fun.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where I was intimidated by the flying, and there were times where it was liberating or it let me show something on stage that I otherwise wouldn't be able to show the audience.
Right, because in your imagination, you could just simply write down, she flies, but you're at the opportunity that she does fly. So how did that, in conjunction with the 20 people, I mean, how was that process of, did you get to meet them? I mean, how was your process working with the interns, the apprentices, rather?
Before they came into town, after they had been selected, before they came into town, we all sat down with
Michael and Amy, the directors of the Apprentice Company.
And with Sarah Linney and looked at headshots, and they kind of went through every headshot and talked. At that point, it's such a complex process to acquire the apprentices that at that point, they know a lot about them. They have a really strong sense of them. So they really, before we had even seen them, we had heard about them and had theories of who they were and how they would function as actors and nicknames for some of them and I mean, flattering ones, but so it was really all about them, and we met them for the first time, and they kind of showed us what they could do. And
yeah, the first time we met them, they were given, I think they had 1 or 2 minutes to do anything they wanted for us, and that could mean a monologue, or that could mean a song, or I think there is a puppet show in there.
Oh wow!
And it was a chance to sort of have our expectations of them completely subverted and get new ideas about what they might be able to do on stage and how they play on stage.
So, and this is kind of a reverse sort of, I don't want to say process for you guys, because you were here first with the featured plays, right? Have you done The Apprentice Company before?
No.
So, and I'm not saying it's the, it seems like that kind of comes in and then the feature play is after in years. It seems like in the last couple of years that I've been here. So how does that going from, you know, that component to that component been for you as a challenging as a writer, I guess?
Go ahead.
I guess it ties back into working with 20 people.
As a person, it was delightful only because when you come in with your show, you're so myopically in the process of rehearsal. You have a couple of apprentices in the room with you and you get to know those apprentices well. But apart from that, it's this blur of people who are so central to the festival.
Uh-huh.
But you don't get to know them as individuals. They're kind of flying past.
Right.
So to actually be able to sit down and concentrate and think about all of them and get to work out what this thing is up close is very satisfying.
Cool. And for the which parts, which one did you write? I don't have it right in front of me.
I wrote Dreamer Wake,
okay.
Which is the middle one.
Okay.
Which is about the apprentices.
Right.
And I wrote a play called Night Night, which is the final play in the evening, that is a play about sleep-deprived astronauts.
So, I mean, again, I love that it all sort of kind of came together and worked, but worked well. I'm sorry, there was a thought pause right there. Sorry. But... what did you besides getting to know the humanity of the process with working with so many people, what was a growing thing for you as a writer or an artist or anything? Was it just another challenge that, hey, I can do this now and there's a confidence level? Or, I mean, as far as writing, taking on such a weird sort of kind of thing.
I mean, whenever I set out to write a play, I always have lots of obstacles that I set up for myself, lots of requirements that my play needs to meet. So having somebody else set up those requirements in some ways makes my life easier. What was really nice about this process was having a really long time to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like we knew we were writing this maybe 2 years ago and started workshopping it not this past fall, but the fall before. We started research, the brainstorming process with Sarah Lunny and Amy Attaway. So it was really nice to, normally when you get a commission, you have a fairly short amount of time to write, or at least write it. At least that's been my experience. And in this case, I felt we had a luxurious amount of time. And so there's a lot of room for trial and error and pursuing one story idea and then completely scrapping it and starting over again. So that was really nice to do to write a commission where there was so much room for exploration.
And how was that? I mean, because obviously you have your own sort of entity, but then you take time through the year to say, this is kind of where I think this is going, and how do we bridge sort of the cross piece?
We had one or two meetings which were about that fairly early on. We sort of identified, it was here. We came, we did a flying workshop. We identified the areas we wanted to write about. Rinna really wanted to write about a sleep lab, Lucas wanted to write about astronauts. I wanted to write about the apprentices and the dream. So we each had our ideas, and we sort of affirmed amongst ourselves that this was a good spread,
mm-hmm.
You know, that we weren't treading on each other's ground. And then we talked really concretely about the flying and the flying vocabularies we thought we'd be employing, because we didn't want to, you know, if one of us had like very balletic, beautiful flying, and so did the other two, that would be a pain by the end of the night.
Right.
Exhausted right. Your appetite. So we kind of coordinated that and made sure we were each doing stuff we thought was interesting, but which didn't bog the evening down.
Sure.
And then once we had done that, I think we pretty much went off on our own without needing to, you know, we sort of were keeping track of what each other was doing just as part of the process. But that was really the act of coordination.
And Did you fly?
We did fly.
Yes, we flew on our first trip out here to start working on the project, and it turned out that of the three of us, Anne is the best flyer. People were really impressed with her flipping skills. She
Thank
could do
you,
many
so
somersaults.
You could
in the
do
air.
Five in a row, is that?
Please. If
she
you're not,
could
if
do
you're
10.
Not in space, it's much easier. yeah, it turned out to be one of those things. They said we could fly, and that was very exciting. And I thought it was going to be one of those things that looked fun, but was actually inconvenient, painful, and frightening.
Uh-huh.
But it's really fun.
Oh, cool.
It's like flying in a dream, actually. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's convinced. I'm not buying
no,
that.
I enjoyed it. I'm ashamed that I'm not as good at it as Anne was.
You had more of a strap problem.
Yeah, I had a strap problem.
That would be my trusting the aircraft cable. You know, really, that's gonna let me do all those wonderful things. I don't do heights anyway, so that would be a challenge for me. But what's next for you all? Let's go with that dreaded, awful question. Let's individually, anything to share?
I've got a show going up in New York in the fall called Mr. Burns, which is about people telling Simpson stories. That's my next.
Nice.
And my next play is in rehearsal right now. It's a play called A Public Reading of an Unproduced Screenplay About the Death of Walt Disney. And it's going up in New York at Soho Rep, starring Larry Pine and Frank Wood and Amanda Quaid and Brian Skimbody. And Sarah Benson's going to direct. It's a play about the last days of Walt Disney and his attempts to, before he dies, make sure that the Disney Corporation builds Epcot, which the original concept of Epcot was the perfect city, a utopian city.
Right. The when City of actually... Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, and that begins performances April 30th and runs through May.
Well, cool. And we also got to say congratulations to Death Tax on your award.
Thank you.
Was one where I was like, I've seen that. I talked to that guy, you know? So again, congratulations. And we should mention our third person who is not here is, Rene Groff?
Rinna
Groff. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you guys for sitting in and chatting with me.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You. Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah. Use your name as your domain name. Check out Dreamhost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from Dreamhost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show. Again, I want to thank two out of the three playwrights I could get a hold of for the Prentice Company's production of Sleep Rock Thy Brain. In total, again, it was Rene Groff, Lucas Nath, and Ann Washburn. I want to thank Lucas and Ann for stopping by and chatting with me today. And next week, we're going to talk Cry Old Kingdom with Jeff Augustine and keep rumbling on. So if you got a thought about your experience here, if you were here and you want to share it, please do so by calling 615-866-1282. I mean, if you had an experience here at Humana. So anyway, next week we'll continue on with the 37th annual Humana Festival for New American Plays with Cry Old Kingdom. So until next week, hey, I'll see you. Bye.
That's a detergent.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. instant album downloads, or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.